And it's so good to see you. And the weather is crazy a little bit. How many of you honestly like winter this morning? Do you really? Yeah, do you really? Well, how many of you could, like, if you never saw this again, would be, like, totally happy? You know, I got to be honest with you. I have to be honest with you. This week was a little bit crazy with, you know, weather and stuff like this, and just the responsibilities of life. How many of you just this week you had just extra responsibilities of life? It's just like, whew, that you could do without. Anyone? Show me your hands, you know. So everybody, you know, and it's just like, oh my goodness, it's like extra responsibility. How many of you need to, there's just someone in your life, you just wish they would get you better. They'd understand you a little bit better. Anyone? Yeah, me too. And so that's good. Well, the last couple of weeks have been amazing in the house here. I've kind of taken a little bit of a sabbatical since the beginning of the year of how often I've preached on purpose, because I just need to seek the Lord and pray, and I need a rest. I've been preaching for like many years, and we have great preachers in here, and so I just needed to get focused. And this week, pray for us, because we're heading out to Ottawa, Linda and I, on Thursday. We'll be back on Saturday, but we're just meeting with some spiritual mothers and fathers from across the country, and we'll be meeting. As you know, Linda and I have been walking with Watchmen for many years, and in Ontario, it's the On Watch group, and it's the spiritual mothers and fathers, and so we just believe it's a strategic time in our nation, where we have leaders from all over the country that will be coming and discerning the times and praying into the times. And at the same time, we'll be in worship and in prayer, and just a time away to get refreshed in our spirits. And how many of you know that, you know? And I don't know, how many of you had 3 14-hour days this, well, mother, you have 14-hour day every day. But, you know, I don't know about you, but like, I'm not good 4 nights in a row out. My personality is like, you know, I'm bouncing all over the place, and I'm excited and everything. But 4 nights in a row after a 14-hour day, I'm fried. So then on Saturday, get up, and I had to come to the church at some point, and I got up and I go, oh, I have to shovel again. I'm just, you know, and it's just like, I just needed a break. So am I talking to all of you this week? How many can totally relate to? And so don't go, oh, poor Pastor Ken. I'm going, oh, poor you. Because you know what? That's life. But God is good, and that's where we get our strength from, and that's why, and that's how we continue on in doing all the things. So the last couple of weeks were amazing in the house here. I was quite surprised a couple of weeks ago when Ty preached, and I didn't know what he was going to preach on before, but he preached, and you know, it was like, the altar was full of people, and his basic question was, how many of you are not giving 100% to God? And then he lowered it even to the point where he says, how many of you are only giving 25%? And you just responded, and it was like, wow, you know? And so in one way, it's like, really? I thought you were a little higher than 25%, but at the same time, I recognized your need for God and your honesty to come forth and to get your heart right with God. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. It's all about the heart, found from Revelation. And then last week, Linda, didn't she do a great job last week? How many of you enjoy when Linda preaches here? She's just, so do I. Three of them.
Three's better than none.
Yeah, that's good. That's pretty good, I'd say. And so she just preached really good and really revealed to us who Jesus actually is. It's because, like, it's one thing to get our hearts, to realize our hearts aren't fully engaged. But, like, what are our hearts not fully engaged with? And so she revealed Jesus, and it was awesome. And so I'm very proud of all of you for responding. And I've been seeking the Lord for the last number of weeks, as you have, and I've been praying for each of you. And this morning I want to address you from Revelation chapter 2. And it was good for me to be part of a congregation and to be part of church service, where I still have a lot of responsibilities, because we had our Connect group this morning, which was full house, wasn't it? Wasn't that good? The room was full. I was very pleased with that. And then you have your service, and we have a children's meeting afterwards. And so life is still busy, but it's still to seek the Lord and put a message together. How many of you know that that's not easy? And it takes a lot of time. So if you're preparing a paper this week, the research that you have to do and then put it all together, it's not easy, is it? And so like we do, so what you're doing every week, we're also doing, because it's the same idea. You're gathering information and then you're making it so that it communicates well, and that the Spirit of God is in. So this morning I want to look at chapter 2 of Revelation, if you turn in your Bibles with me this morning, to chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And it says this. I think it's on the, I think it's up there, is it? And so it says this: to the angel of the church in Ephesus, these are the words of whom holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Amen? Amen. So, Father, use these verses to speak into our hearts this morning. I read them very, very slow so they'd be impactful. These verses are really about having a heart after God. Having a heart after God and not a lukewarm heart. And basically, when I saw people coming to the altar a few weeks ago, and I was actually quite surprised that how many people responded. Really, if you don't have a heart after God, you have a lukewarm heart. And the reality of it is, as a spiritual father of this house, I have to let you know that in the book of Revelation, a lukewarm heart is totally not acceptable to God. We may function within that lukewarm heart and be satisfied and even be attracted to sin and things, but if we really care what Jesus thinks, it would be he doesn't like a lukewarm heart. And so it's not going to be a hard message, but it's not going to be it's not going to make you want to jump up and dance either. And so these verses are about a heart after God and not a lukewarm heart. I try to imagine how God feels about a lukewarm heart. And I tried to imagine it from me, and so since I'm so shallow, the best I could come up with is coffee. And how many of you enjoy a coffee? How many of you like coffee? How many of you like hot coffee? You know when coffee really kind of gets lukewarm and you take a sip and it's like, am I right? How many of you, like, you like lukewarm coffee, eh? Like, you know, but lukewarm, it just has like, you know, like the cream in it has kind of been sitting in it for like a long time, and you look at it and it has all sorts of kind of designs in it, and it says, it's just like, and I thought, you know, like it, like for me, I take a sip of that and I just, I want to spit it out. And it's that graphic in Scripture. He loves us so much, but the lukewarmness of our heart, that's what he kind of wants to do. He wants to spew us out, but he doesn't. But that's what it's like. And so I want to look at it this morning, our heart, from his perspective, not from our perspective, on how he feels about it. Because really, I care more about how my wife feels than how I feel. I really do. When I make a decision to do something, I really do care more about her. And we live in a world where it's all mixed up. Everything is about me, it's about me, it's about how I feel. But how does our Lord feel about some of the things that we do? And the one thing that remains constant is the fact that the Lord, he is searching throughout the earth for a certain type of heart. He really is. He's searching. You like that? It's very creative, wouldn't you say? But he's searching throughout this sanctuary this morning for a certain type of heart. And as we look at the Scripture, we know that he knows everything. How does that make you feel? He knows everything about you this morning. He knows everything about you. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And how many of you are uncomfortable that he knows the ugly? You know, he knows it all. And these are the words from Jesus, as I read in the Scripture, the one who holds the seven stars. He holds the churches in his hands tightly, and they are his churches. And he walks amongst the seven golden lampstands, his churches. And that's what the Scripture is saying. So it's Jesus walking amongst those golden lampstands. They're his churches. Amen. And he is present in the midst of the church. And he is intimately concerned with his church. And his church are his people. So he is intimately concerned with each of you here this morning. And Jesus, in the story that we just read, he's looking at their heart condition. He's looking at their heart condition. Oh my goodness, this week I shoveled a lot of snow, as maybe you did too, and I used my snowblower, I don't know, about 8 times. And then on Friday night we had beautiful encounter night, and Maria was on the keyboard, and we brought it down here, so it was just Maria and Laura, and they were just leading us in songs, and then as the evening comes to an end, the children that were here, in particular Jen's children, they love to play tag with me. And so they're waiting, and I'm in the sound room doing the slides and the sound and stuff like this. And as the blessing is spoken and we close in prayer, they're waiting for me to come out already. And as soon as I put my step down, it's like, tag, you're it. And then we start for a half an hour or more, just running full blast through the church and laughing and everything. And you know what? What I was so thankful for this week? For my heart. And I'm not talking my heart for that I love those children so much, because I do. I was thankful that I didn't have a heart attack. Okay? And I had guys, one guy, 22 years old, 24 years old, start over there and start to catch me. And Linda says, he almost caught you, chased me. He was chasing me. And so I kind of knew he was coming, so I kind of slowed down a little bit. Linda thought that he was catching up on me, but I got, kind of let him get within reach like this, and then I just put in the horsepower, gone. And then around here twice, and then I jumped up on the platform. He goes, oh my goodness. He goes, I thought that you might be a fast runner. He goes, but I didn't think you had the endurance like that. Okay, and I was so thankful to have a healthy heart. Okay, and I'm also thankful that I have a healthy heart for God as well. And in the scripture here, he's looking at our heart condition, and he cares about even the practical stuff about our heart. He really does care. So Kevin had a heart attack this past, so I'm shoveling snow this week, and I'm praying for Kevin. And I'm just praying every time I shovel snow now, you know, and I thank the Lord that, you know, because it's hard. It's hard work. And I start to pray for you. And he's looking for a certain type of heart, my friends. And so he's looking at the heart. So secondly, what he does in this story, he praises what is good. Don't you love that when the Lord praises what is good? So we look at the church at Ephesus, and Jesus commends them for their hard work and their perseverance. I commend you for your hard work and your perseverance as well. And they are commended for enduring hardships. And as we just opened up the service, says some of you had some hardships this week. And he commended them for this and not growing weary in serving God in the city of Ephesus. And Ephesus was a very important city at that time. Most of the trade from the east came through this city. It was called the Metropolis of Ephesus. So this was their metropolitan city. And in the midst of this city, we have a church. Gateway Church, it was called. No, it wasn't. Okay? But it was called Gateway Church, and it was a very good church, as you told us last week at the annual meeting, with words of edification. And when Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he was not writing to address problems in the church. And one of the things I'm so thankful for in this church is I can honestly tell you that in all the years that we have pastored in this church, we have never had friction at a leadership level. It just doesn't happen. And Vicky, have we ever been at odds with each other? You know, John, have we ever, you know, it just doesn't happen. So Paul, he's writing to the church at Ephesus and he's commending them. He's commending them that he wasn't writing because they had problem. And Jesus is encouraging them to continue in their spiritual growth and their hunger after God. And he tells them that he knows their deeds, their hard work, their perseverance. He praised them for all the things that they were doing right. And Jesus cared for each one of those churches, each one of his churches, as he cares for our church. And he wants this house and each one of us to reach our greatest potential. Jesus wants you to reach your greatest potential this morning. Amen? Amen. He does. He does. But thirdly, this is the reality of it, is that Jesus recognizes that there's something that's wrong. There's something that is wrong. And he says in these verses, I hold this against you. He says, you have forsaken your first love. What would cause this? What would cause this? Like, he's just told them they're a perfect church, they endure and everything. But then he criticizes them. And he says, but you have lost your first love. Oh my goodness. Any of you here this morning invite Jesus into your life and you've lost your first love and you've had to come back to him? Okay? So I don't know what it was. They're still in church. They're still doing church. They're still having board meetings and they're still having children's church. They're still doing all whatever they would do back in that day. They're still doing it, and he commends them for doing it well. But then he says to them, he says, you've lost your first love. So what causes this? So I heard a story this week I read, and I heard about an old farmer who was very stingy. And one day, he said to his pastor, "You know, I just had two calves that were born, and I've decided to give one of them to the Lord." "Oh," the pastor said, "which one?" "I haven't decided yet." So a week passed by, and one of the calves got very sick, and it died. And the next day, the farmer came to the pastor with the dead calf draped over his arm. He says, "I have bad news for you. The Lord's calf just died." That's what we do often, don't we? We give our leftovers to God. And if Jesus showed up, if Jesus Christ showed up at your house today for lunch, would you give him leftovers? I think you would make a feast for him, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Like, seriously, look at Jesus. He's coming to your house today. Okay? Aren't you going to give him the best? Okay? He's sitting at your table and he's looking at your heart, Helena. And he's saying, "I can't criticize that heart. I can't criticize that heart. I find nothing wrong with that heart." Amen. We should give our best to God. But often we give him our second best. We know that we should pray and we should read the Bible, but we think, "Well, I'll get to it eventually." How many could, if you're honest, how many can honestly say that? Okay. I should honestly do that. We know we should give our finances to the Lord, but we say, "I don't have enough money left." The Bible says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and your first fruit. Put God first and he will bless you." So we don't give to be blessed, but it's a principle. How many of you know that because you've given of yourself, of your time, of your finances, of all of those things, that your life has been blessed, right? I know people that have come to church for many, many years and they've never done nothing. Say with me, nothing. Except do nothing. And always tell me what I should do. "Pastor, you know what? We should probably..." So this morning someone, it was a joke, but someone said to me this morning, "Hey, we should..." What was that, Richard, that you said? We should... No, it wasn't you. You were just repeating it that someone... Oh, it was you, Lucy. Oh, yeah. What was it? You, we sh- what was it?
She wants an automatic door button on the back.
Oh, yeah. She wants an automatic door button on the back of the church. So I said to Kevin, I said, "Well, tell her to write the check." Okay? Like, seriously. "Pastor, we should do... Write the check." Right? Repeat after me. "Write the check." Like, hello. Okay, Lucy, we'll... Hello, what's the name of that company that puts the door, commercial doors in here? In town. What are they called? Okay, it doesn't matter. Hello? Could you come and put an automatic door... I got the check from someone in the church. They're going to do it. Just joking. But I'm just saying, you know... Put God first in your marriage, okay, and see how that changes. How many of you know that? For sure? How many of you know it but don't do it? Okay, put God first in your marriage. Stop complaining about the person that you're dating or you're married to or whatever and start praying for them, okay? Tell a man once that you're proud of him and he'll follow you around for the rest of your life, ladies. I'm telling you, okay? That's the way we are. Proud of you, Pastor Ken. Ooh, I like that person. Lynn, did you hear what that person said to... Oh, man, do I ever like that person. Proud of me. Ooh, why? You know? The thing is that I hold back. It's like I would want to say, I don't do it, but I want to know... I want you to go further with that. So why are you proud of me? But you don't do that because you have to be humble and all that. But, you know... But the thing is, you know, so put him first. Put him first in your finances. And watch how they will change. Right? Put him first in your finances. And you know what? I don't know how you do it. Some of you people have all these kids and all these responsibilities and multiple vehicles, and you're running your kid here. You know, I know one lady, she has her son in hockey. It costs her 10 grand a year, and her other son is coming up. Like, that's 20 grand a year for hockey. How do you do that? Like, how are you? So all of a sudden, your both kids want to play hockey. How are you going to do that? $20,000 a year. How are you going to do that? Are you going to be able to do that? 20 grand a year. Like, you're a nurse. You do okay for yourself. 20 grand a year. Like, I get it. I get it. Life is not easy sometimes. But the scripture says to put God first. And he will give you his best. He will give you the best. He will give you the best. It may not be what you want, but it will be the best. He gave his best to you in Jesus Christ. Right? I have to be thankful. How many of you remember the day you gave your heart to the Lord? Okay? How many of you think about that sometimes? Alfredo, I was at Mr. Poncho's Friday, and we're just talking about that, you know? Alfredo, you didn't always walk with the Lord, did you? It's beautiful to walk with Jesus, isn't it? You know? We're having a beautiful lunch. How many of you have not been to Mr. Poncho? You need to go. Taste explosion. And you know what? It's hard, because if we had other restaurant owner here, I can't show bias, but it's so good, the food is so tasty. And you know, there was a police officer and a nurse sitting at another table, and I know that police officer because he was doing a stakeout here once, and so we got talking. And yet these two restaurant owners sat down and freely were talking about the Lord. But not in a religious way, but we're talking about the Lord, because you know what? They didn't forget their first love. They're not ashamed of their first love. So put him first. Amen. Fourthly, Jesus exhorts us. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? He exhorts us. In verse 7, he says, "He that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." If we don't, the word says the lampstand will be removed. So the great master Michelangelo, do any of you know him personally? Okay. My uncle. Uncle Michelangelo. Yeah. He once explained, this is very important, okay, it's Michelangelo. He once explained the creative process this way. He says, "I saw an angel in the marble, and I carved it until I set him free." Isn't that amazing? And Michelangelo could see at the slate of stone and see what would come from it. You know where I'm going with that, eh? God looks at us and says, "I know what you can be. I know what you can be. You don't know it yet, but I know it. I know what I can make you into. You're a mighty man of God. You're a mighty woman of God. Do you know it?" Amen. See, because God sees potential, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. He has given each of us gifts and talents and abilities and resources to use for his glory. And I know it's good to come to the altar when you're only giving yourself 25% of him. But as a pastor, I want to be able to get past always us striving to be something that we expect we should be before God, and us walking in our spiritual giftings, so that I could be the biggest cheerleader and say, "Amen, that spiritual gift functioning there, that fruit of the Spirit there, that gift of the Spirit there, yay, yay, yay." And what happens is, because we have never forgotten our first heart. So God is walking amongst the lampstands, and he knows all, right? He knows all. He really does. And those who listen to what the Spirit is leading will be victorious. You will lead a victorious life. In spite of circumstances, you get up in the morning and you have a joy within your spirit, as opposed to getting up and thinking, I have to face this day again. I have another day before me. In spite of circumstances, you get up in the morning and you're like 7 feet tall and you start to conquer the things because you're dependent upon Him, because you're living a victorious life. Can you say amen? So this is what the Scripture really says. It says this. Okay, so you did your work at the altar, and I think you're going to probably have to continue to do your work through your whole walk with God. It just doesn't happen once, because sometimes, you know, it is what it is. But this is what the Bible says, and this is what the Spirit of God wants to get in your spirit today. It says this: embrace your new identity. Okay, embrace your new identity. Break the cycle of whatever it is that prevents you from putting Him first and embrace your new identity. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. I have to remind myself, okay, because you know the old man sometimes creeps in. Okay, I'll use just driving down the road as an example. Like these maniacs yesterday in a big snowstorm, they're driving on Prince Edward Drive 80 kilometers an hour. Like, you know what? Like, hello, the speed limit is like, what, 50 kilometers? And you should probably only go 40 kilometers in that kind of weather. So the old man creeps in. I'm thinking, like, I'll just say it. Idiot. Have any of you ever said that? Okay. So the thing is, I'm just being honest. But what happens is the new creation has come. So my spirit, it's not just about me. My spirit is tender to my Lord and my Savior. And I'm in tune with the Spirit of God. So what happens is, like we saw in our Steve, who taught this morning, who is teaching this morning, as we looked at Not a Fan this morning, there are two fellows that were friends. And one became a Christian and one was not. And instead of the Christian judging the one who was not, he made a telephone call 3 years later. And he says, I'm really, really sorry. I haven't been a good friend to you. And the other guy was the guy who was the jerk, not the guy who was, And yet he says, I have not been there for you. On the television show Fixer Upper, do you like that show? I like it. How many of you watch HGTV? For hockey and HGTV, it's the only reason I have cable, because I can't afford it. It's very expensive now, eh? You people don't have cable, do you? Like, it's big bucks. It's like, when I was your age, that would have been like a car payment, you know? Like, it was like crazy big bucks. But anyways, I like that show. How many of you watched it? You never watch Fixer Upper? With Chip and Joanna Gaines? Like, these are like cool people, man. Like, they choose an old house in Central Texas, okay? Like, that's important, okay? And they give it a new beginning. And sometimes it's for a young couple just getting their first house, and they buy a house that's $50,000, and they put another $150,000 into it. And for $200,000, they have this house that looks like it's like a $500,000 house. And sometimes the house is for a young couple, sometimes it's for a retired couple. And Joanna, she's the designer, and she comes up with these amazing, intricate, beautiful plans and all the kitchens that you would want and bathrooms. And her husband, Chip, he's the builder. And when they finish, it's hard to believe that it's the same house. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. God can do for your life. You say, my life is messed up. It's broken down. It's falling apart. You have no idea. You know, I met a lady a while ago who I had a lot of respect for, and she told me something that she does every single day that I had no idea of, and that holds her in bondage to just living this life, and it just broke my heart. It's just messed up. It can become new and fresh in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So I like this scripture in Genesis, and Genesis 32 and 28. I'll just finish in just a couple of minutes. And it says this, "Your name will no longer be Jacob. From now on, it will be called Israel." How many of you have heard that? So, you know what? You don't have to stay the same. In conversion, we're given a new identity. Look at Jacob in the book of Genesis that I just read. When he confessed his manipulative behavior, God gave him a new identity. So give God those things and just walk in those things. He's an awesome, awesome God. God gave him a new identity. Essentially, God says this, and this is what God's saying to you this morning, maybe. He goes, "I know you've blown it. I knew you blew it this week. I know that you've been deceitful." How many of you have ever been deceitful? Deceitful. Isn't that awful? Oh man, growing up, I was so deceitful. You know what? How many of you were like this growing up? I'm the baby of the family. And so you know the baby and the family, they're always, like how many of you have babies in your as children, babies in the family? Your firstborn is very studious like this, and then the baby of the family comes around and all. Everything's fun. Everything's a game. And I would just get the whole family. I'd start teasing my brother, but because I was so nice, he would get in trouble even though I started it. So would that be called deceitfulness? As a teacher, is that, did you recognize those students, say, in your classroom? Is that why you're smiling? Because you were a principal too, so you had them come to your office, right, Giselle? And so... And so God says, he goes, "I know you've been deceitful, but I see a prince, or I see a princess beneath all the emotional hang-ups, all your insecurities, all your stuff, and I want everyone else to know that you are a prince or you're a princess." And God is saying that today, beneath all your sins, beneath all your hang-ups, you can be something great. Amen. You can be something so great. You can be what I made you to be. Okay? His name is God, not Michelangelo. And deep down, I believe that we all want God's blessing, don't we? But we have to take some steps that God requires. So, Father, I thank you this morning for allowing me the privilege of opening up your word. I thank you, Lord, this morning for those who were engaged in this message, who were honest, who smiled, who laughed, who put up their hands. Father, I thank you for the conviction that some people had hearing this word. And Father, as we move forward in the days ahead, starting from Ty, bringing a word and revealing to many people's hearts that we need to give God 100%. And then Linda showing us what the real Jesus is like. And then this morning, just me building upon that so that we have a foundation moving forward in the days to come, that we must never lose our first love or put our first love second. So, Father, I thank you. I ask for your blessings upon each person here this morning. You're such an awesome God. We just bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not going to ask the worship team to come. We can just stand up for a second and before we go, let's sing a song. You could stop